Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Yudalit Amud Aleph with the Mishnah. The Mishnah gives us a contrast between Korbanot Yachid and Korbanot HaTzibur, which is Yesh B'Korbanot Yachid, Shem B'Korbanot HaTzibur. There are certain things or aspects of Korbanot Yachid that are not applicable or do not come about with regards to Korbanot HaTzibur, and vice versa, Yesh Korbanot HaTzibur, Shem B'Korbanot Yachid. There are certain things that apply to Korbanot HaTzibur that are not applicable by Korbanot Yachid. Sheh, Korbanot Yachid. Korbanot HaYachid have these unique characteristics or traits that are associated with them. First of all, osim tmura, that they have the capacity to create tmura. Vein Korbanot HaTzibur osim tmura. As we already learned at the end of the previous parak, the Korbanot HaTzibur don't have the capacity to create tmura. They're not included in the din of tmura. Though the Rambam does include them in the isur of tmura, he just says that they don't have the resultant outcome, which is hu tmurato yekodesh. Korbanot HaYachid noagot ben bizcharim ben benekevot. Korbanot HaYachid have application both in male and female, meaning that they're korbanot that come from zcharim and come from nekevot. The korbanot HaTzibur enu noagim ele bizcharim, whereas the korbanot HaTzibur only come from male animals. Now, the majority of korbanot HaTzibur are olot, and olot, even by korbanot HaYachid, come from zcharim. So just by that mere fact, the majority of korbanot HaTzibur are going to be zecharim, because the majority of korbanot HaTzibur are olot. There are additional korbanot HaTzibur. First of all, there are the shalmei tzibur. They're brought once a year on Shavuot, and those shlamim are zecharim. So that shlamim, which normally by korbanot HaYachid you have the choice between zechar and nekeva, by the korbanot HaTzibur, the kibtzei atzeret that are brought on Shavuot, are kvasim and are males. In addition, the chataot of the musafim, which would also be from a nekeva by yachid, you can only bring a nekeva by chataot. Nevertheless, by the chataot at tzibur, like the musafim, it says si'ir chatat echad. It calls them si'irim. It's only male animals that are brought a chataot at tzibur. So the chataot, the shlamim, the olot, all those that are brought by the tzibur are all zicharim. There are no nekevot that are brought by tzibur. Korbanot HaYachid, chayavin ba'achar yutan. Korbanot HaYachid, you are responsible for the korban, meaning that there are certain things that you have to bring at a certain time or a certain threshold. If you miss that time or you miss that threshold, you still have to continue to bring the korban. You're not exempted, you're not relieved of that obligation to bring the korban. For instance, Rashi says, Kugorn korban ola yoledet, the korbanot mitzora. They have a requirement, it seems from Rashi, to be brought the yom hashmini. And if you don't bring it on the eighth day, you can bring it after a certain amount of time. From Rashi, it actually sounds like the primary obligation or the mitzvah is to actually do it on the eighth day. And then if you don't do it on the eighth day, then you can bring it after that point in time. You could have read the chiyuv with regards to the eighth day as being a matir, which is that from the eighth day forward, you can bring the korban. That might be the simplest way to read the Torah. But Rashi over here claims that the yom hashmini is mitzvah lahavio b'yom hashmini. If you fail to do such, then you have the right to continue to bring it even after that point in time. But that is not true, as we'll see, with regards to the korbanot HaTzibur, whereby we say, im avar zmanam batel korbanam. When you lose the time, if you didn't bring the korban olah today, or the korban musaf, there's no making it up tomorrow. So that is, you have to bring it at its time, when its allocated period is. If you don't do that, then you have no responsibility afterwards, because you failed to accomplish that which was required of you. And you're also responsible for the nisachim, which is that you have to make sure or ensure that the nisachim come along with your korban ha-yachid. Korbanot HaTzibur, ein chayavin ba'achriyutan. Number one, as we just said, you're not responsible to make them up if you fail to bring them at the proper time. Velo ba'achriyut niskehem. And similarly, if you fail to bring the nisachim, then there's no bringing them afterwards, or you don't have to make them up. Aval. That's only true if you fail to bring the korban, then you don't have to bring the nisachim. But in the korbanot HaTzibur, if you do bring the korban that you were supposed to bring, then you are responsible to ensure that the nisachim come along with the korban. Every korban that has a requirement of a nesach, if you bring the korban and you did it at the right time, you still have that responsibility to bring the nisachim along with it. And even if you don't do it on time, you do are responsible to bring it even after that period of time. Yesh b'korbanot HaTzibur, mashem b'korbanot HaYachid. Now here's the other side of the coin, which is that the korbanot tzibur have things or character traits, items that are uniquely associated with them that are not true by korbanot yechid. So korbanot tzibur dochim et haShabbat v'et haTumah. They are able to override Shabbat and they're able to override Tumah, which is either Tumah duchuya b'tzibur, Tumah hutra b'tzibur. Tumah can be overridden when the tzibur is involved. Again, by Shabbat, we have the same principle, which is all the korbanot tzibur, the korbanot olot, the karbanei musafim. All of these are brought on Shabbat, they're brought on Yom Tov, they're duchah these periods of time, which otherwise you would have thought would be precluded from being brought on these days. On the other hand, Yachid, inu duchot lo et haShabbat lo et haTumah. Yachid's korban does not have that capacity to override Shabbat, does not have the capacity to override Tumah. Amar Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir says about this, Falo, don't we have exceptions to that rule? You set the rule as being Tzibur versus Yachid as the determining factor as to whether it's Doche Shabbat and Tumah, or whether it's not. Don't we have examples of Korbanot of the Yachid that are Doche to Shabbat ve Tumah? And vice versa, we have Korbanot of Tzibur that are not Doche to Shabbat ve Tumah. Falo, Chavite Kohen Gadol. When it comes to the Chavitin of the Kohen Gadol, the Minchav the Kohen Gadol, Machetzita Boker, Machetzita Be'erev, that he brings daily in the Mikdash, that is Dochet HaShabbat and Tumah, because it says, Vayit Minchat Tamid. And the Gemara Darshan in Menachot, Minchat Tamid, means it's like the Minchat the Tamidim, just like Minchat the Tamidim are Dochet Shabbat and Dochet Tumah, so is the Chavite Kohen Gadol, even though it's a personal Korban, it's a Korban of the Yachid. Upar Shel Yom HaKippurim. And as well, the Par of Aaron on Yom HaKippurim of the Kohen Gadol, is a korbanat yachid. Both of these are korbanot yachid. V'dochim et haShabbat v'et haTumah. And with regards to the par shel Aaron, we also say that it's doche et haShabbat v'et haTumah. And that's because over there, based on the pasuk with chelev chatat yaktir, that it's even doche et haTumah. Ella shizmano kavua. Rabbi Meir adds the qualifying factor or the trait about the korban, which gives it the possibility or the right to be dochet haShabbat v'et haTumah, which is that it has to have a fixed time associated with it. Anything that has a fixed time that is associated with it, in which you must bring the korban in that window of time, then it's dochet haShabbat and it's dochet haTumah, even if it's a korban hayachid, like the chavite kohen gadol, like the par shel Yom HaKippurim of Aaron or the kohen gadol, as well as possibly by korban haPesach. There the Gemara vacillates as to what the status of Korban HaPesach is. It is a Korban HaYachid, but it's brought b'knufaya, brought in a public setting with everybody doing the same thing, so it has a quasi-status of a Korban HaTzibur. But those Korbanot, where there's Manam is Kavua, they are Dochet HaShabbat with Dochet HaTumah. But Korbanot HaTzibur that don't have a Zman Kavua to them, for instance, Paralam Davashot Tzibur, Sirei Ovedat Kochavim, those Korbanot are not required to be brought at a fixed time. And therefore, they're not Dochet HaShabbat, but Dochet HaTumah. Now, it's not necessarily, based on the Gemara and Yoma, that Rabbi Meir is fundamentally disagreeing with the Tanna Kamma. Rather, Rabbi Meir is just qualifying the Tanna Kamma's position and saying, yes, it is true that majority of the Korbanot HaTzibur are Dochet HaShabbat, and Korbanot Yechid are not. The factor that's really determinant is the fact that they are Kavu Lehem Zman. And that's true. By the majority of the Korbanot HaTzibur, it is Kavu Lehem Zman. That's why we said before, if you miss the time, you don't make them up, because they have a fixed time that they need to be brought. Versus the majority of Korbanot Yechid do not have a fixed time in which they are brought, and therefore, they are not Dochet HaShabbat, but Dochet HaTumah. But there are exceptions on both sides, small exceptions, but the general principle does stand, but it's not because of the reason of Tzibur or Yechid inherently, it's because of the fact that the Tzibur in general are Zmanam Kavua, and the Yachid in general is Ein Zmano Kavua. Now, the Gemara says, Korban Yachid Oset Mura. V'klololahu? Is that really a principle that is in place? That all Korbanot Yachid create Mura? V'hare Ofot? What about birds that are brought to Korban Yachid? V'ein Oset Mura. And it doesn't have the possibility of creating Mura. You tell me Korbanot Yachid as a general category can create Mura, it just isn't true. It says, Kitani V'veheima Kitani. Speaking about animals. So with regards to animals or behemoth, that distinction exists between the Yachid and the Tzibur. We already established in the previous parak that there's a distinction between behema and ofotim and achot that we got from the pasuk of bivhema. Now, the Mishnah over here based on that already, or using that information, is now differentiating within behemot, which are those items that are chayav in tmura. I mean, that's a given already. Then there is this distinction between the korbanot yachid and korbanot ha-tzibur. Vari vlad, the korban yachid hu, vlad kodoshim, which is a korban yachid and is a behema, venoset tmura. And it doesn't have the capacity to create tmura. That's the view of the chachamim at the end of the previous perek. Where it says, Hamani, once again, we bring out Rabbi Yehuda, that is Rabbi Yehuda, damar vlad oset tmura. That the vlad has the capacity or the ability to create tmura. And therefore, it could be fit into our Mishnah that that is a distinction of Korban Yachid versus Korban Tzibur, because even in Behema of a Vlad Kodoshim, that din still remains true with regards to Vlad Kodoshim, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Vare Tmura Atzma. What about Tmura itself? We already established in the previous parak, Ein Tmura Achar Tmura. So if you made something that was Hektish and you created Tmura from it, the item that you created Tmura on goes on the Mizbeach. It's Mukrav al Mizbeach. It's a Korban Yachid. Yet, it does not create tmura. And that's what Gemara asks, right? Tmura tzma du korban yachidi ve'en tmura ose tmura. My answer is, kitani bi'ika zivcha ktani. What we're speaking about was primary kdusha. The primary zevach, the primary item that's hekdesh, that's where by korban yachidi can create tmura. Hashtadati the hochi, once you've already answered that, afilu teima rabbonon. Then even according to the rabbonon who say vlad kodoshim do not create tmura, they could still be the authors of the Mishnah here, because bi'ika zivcha ktani. The Mishnah is only talking about their primary animals of Hekdesh, primary korbanot of Hekdesh, not derivatives, not Vladei Kodoshim, not Tmura, which are all derivatives. That's not what we're addressing over here. We're addressing primary Hekdesh, and that the distinction between Korban Yachid and Korban Tzibur exists. Now the Gemara says, Korbanot Yachid, Nogot Ben Bezacharim Ben Benekevot. When it comes to the Korbanot Yachid, they apply to male and female animals. Where again says, V'klolo, is this really a principle? Valere Ola du Korban Yachid, a Ola is a Korban Yachid, Zachar Atya, Nekevot Atya. It can only come from Zicharim, it can't come from Nekevot. Where it says, Haika Ola Tov, that's not a problem, because there is a manifestation within the world of Olot, there is a manifestation of Zachar Nekevah, which is the Ola Tov. And that is the Tanya, that we have the Breita that brings, based on the Posuk in Parshat Emor, that Tamut v'Zichrut, the requirement of Tamim and the requirement of Zachar is applicable by a Behema. And that is not true when it comes to birds. There's no requirement of Tamimim, so they can have Mumim in them and they'd still be qualified. And there's no requirement of Zichrut. We don't differentiate between male and female birds. They are equally qualified to be put on the Mizbeach. And that's based on the pasuk of Litzon Chem, Tamim, Zachar, Babakar, Baksavim, Ubaizim. So that Tamim veZachar is mentioned by Bakar, Kvasim, Ubaizim, but it's not mentioned by the Korbanot. And so, the answer to the question that, yes, all the Korbanot Ola are Zacharim, there is one Ola, which doesn't come from the Zacharim only, and that is the Ola Ta'of. And the Ola Ta'of will be that instance where we say, by Korban HaYachid and Ola, comes both bischarim and binikevot. Varei chatat, the korban yachid. A chatat is also a korban yachid. Nekeva atya zachar lo atya. By the korban chatat, it only comes from females. It is a kibsa or a si'ira. It cannot come from the males. Where it says, aika si'ir nasi. There is the korban chatat of the nasi, which is a si'ir, which is a male animal. The mighty zachar. There again, now I have a manifestation of Zachar and Nekevah within the world of Chataot, and therefore it is true. The Gemara is making it clear here that when the Mishnah said that Nekevah and Zachar apply to Korban HaYachid, doesn't mean that every particular Korban has the capacity to be brought from a Zachar or a Nekevah. It says that every category of Korban within the Korbanot HaYachid can be brought from a Zachar and can be brought from a Nekevah. Now, there are those that ask over here, why is it that the Gemara said by Ola that Ola Ta'of solves your problem? Why don't you say the same thing by Chatat, that Chatat Ta'of solves your problem? The reason might be is because by Ola, the Olat Behema is generally a voluntary offering. And when it's not a voluntary offering, it a lot of times is associated with a Korban Ole V'Yoreid, where the capacity of the individual to pay has impact on whether they bring an Olat Behema or Olat Ta'of. And that means that a person could bring olata oaf anytime that they technically are bringing ola. They could voluntarily bring olata oaf or olata behema. Since they can choose between them, that's sufficient reason to say that in the world of behema, there's this distinction of zakar and nekeva that exists. But chatat oaf, that's not the case. Chatat comes for a particular reason, and you can't bring it on a voluntary basis. If the Torah tells you you have to bring a chatat behema, then the chatat oaf is not a replacement for that. It is in certain instances, there's a korban olev yored where it can replace it. But otherwise, in a general sense, the chatat oaf is not a replacement for the chatat behema. And therefore, the Gemara does not give the answer of chatat oaf over here, but rather tries to find a behema that is a zachar that would then be a manifestation of chatat behema bizacharim. Where it says, Vaika Sham, Yachid, did Zacharati Nekevaloati. What about Hashamot? The Kurban Hasham only comes from Zacharim. It either comes from a Keves or from an Ayo, depending on which of the Hashamot. But there's never a Nekeva that's brought in Hasham. It says, Kikamri Rabbonon Deshavi Ben Yachid Bebemit Sibur. The Rabbonon only spoke about the case where this Kurban is manifest both in the Yachid and with the Tzibur. Hasham b'yachid ita, b'tzibur leite, because an Hasham comes b'yachid, but does not come b'tzibur. The Hasham is the korban that only comes b'yachid, does not come b'tzibur at all. It's similar to ofot. Ofot are a korban that only comes b'yachid, never comes b'tzibur. So too, the Hasham is a korban type that does not come b'tzibur, only comes b'yachid. And therefore, it's not subject to this contrast that the Mishnah is making, because it's not relevant by the tzibur that you have to say now, by the yachid, it has these qualities or these character traits. V'ibay teima, miktani kolar korbanot, doesn't say in the Mishnah all korbanot, it says yesh bi korbanot ktani. In a korbanot yachid, there are some that are nekevot, some that are zicharim. Umay nihu, and what are those? That's the shlamim. So amongst the korbanot yachid, we do have korbanot where you have the option to bring a zachar or nekeva, and that's by the shlamim. Ibai nekeva maiti, ibai zachar maiti. If you want to bring a nekeva, you can. If you bring a zachar, you can. It's open to you to make the decision. That is true by a korban hayachid. A korban hayachid, the shlamim, has that option available to you. By korbanot tzibur, there's no korban that has that option because all the korbanot come bezacharim. Right now, korbanot yachid chayav b'achriutam, mina hanev milei detanru banan. How do we know, or what is the source for the fact that the korbanot hayachid, you can continue to bring even after the time has elapsed. But when it comes to the korbanot tzibur, you do not have that right to bring them after the time has elapsed. So the Gemara over here quotes from Parshat Emor in Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Zayin, with regards to the Musafim. It says over there, Eile Mode Hashem, Ashet Tikru Otam Mikrei Kodesh, Lehakriv, Ishel Hashem, Olam Mincha, Zevach Unisachim, Davar Yom Beyomo, each item on its day. Milamit Shukola Yom Kasher Musafim. The Beyomo Davar Beyom Beyomo tells you that the whole day is Kasher Musafim. So even though you might have thought that the Musafim, like their name indicates, means Musaf, it is in addition to, would be subject to being tied down to the Korban Tamid because they are in Nosaf, the Korban HaTamid. So maybe you would have thought that they also have that limitation with regards to being brought. The answer is that that's not the case. The pasuk tells you, Devar Yom, Biyomo, they can be brought the entire day. Musafim are Ksherim, Kol Hayom Kulo, they can be brought the entire day. Now, it's not true that they can be brought the entire day because of the fact that they have to be brought after the Tamid Shel Shachar and before the Tamid Shel Ben Arabayim. So there is a limitation in where they can be brought in the day. They have to be sandwiched between the two Korbanei Tamid. But that requirement is an exogenous requirement. It has nothing to do with the day, meaning that technically the Musafim would be Ksherim Kol Hayom. There's another variable which is nothing to do with the Musafim themselves, but an exogenous issue, which is that the Korban Tamid Shel Shachar has to be the first Korban in the Mikdash. The Tamid Shel Arabayim has to be the last one. So that somewhat curtails the ability to bring it for the entire day, but technically it would be kasher the entire day. Piyomo, melameit, shimavar yom, v'lo hevian, enu chaya b'achriutan. So devar yom, biyomo, so yom teaches you all day. Yomo means on that day alone. That means that avar mano batel korbano. That's the way the Gemara in Brachot phrases it, which is, if the time has elapsed, the korban is now annulled, korban is no longer relevant, and you can't bring it anymore. You would think that possibly if you brought the Korban, you would not be responsible then to bring the Nisachim, because they would be governed by the same principle of Dvar Yom Biyomo. Even though the Korban itself was brought. Talmud Lomar, now they quote the Pasuk from Parshat Pinchas with regards to the Korbanei Musaf. And over there it says in Chavtet, Pasuk Chavdalet, Minchatam Viniskehem, Laparim Lailim Lakvasim Vimisparam Kamishpat. And that Minchatam Viniskehem Balaila, that tells you that the Mincha and the Nesech that come with these Korbanot can be brought at night. And then it says again, Minchatam Uniskehem, which is brought later on in Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Truth is that it's mentioned numerous times there. The reason that we're quoting these two Pesukim is because the only ones that don't have a Vav in front of them, all the other ones have Uminchatam Uniskehem. These are the only ones that say Minchatam Uniskehem, which is the quote the Gemara brings. So it's in Pasuk Chavdalet and Pasuk Lamed Tet. And there it says, Minchatam Uniskehem Lemachar, even tomorrow. So there's a specific reboy about Minchatam Uniskehem, that they're not bound by the normal rules of time, which is that they don't have to be brought during the day, they can even be brought at night. And number two is, they're not locked in to the day itself where the Zebach is brought, they can even be brought the next day. Rish Lakish Amar Miocha. Rish Lakish says that you can learn it out from Parshat Emor itself, from the continuation of the Pasuk that we just quoted, of Elam Odeh Hashem. The next Pasuk is Milvad Shabdot Hashem. So it says in the previous pasuk, you bring the mincha, zevach, unisachim, devar biyom biyomo. Those are the korbanei musaf, including the mincha and the nesach that goes along with it. And then it says in the next pasuk, milvad shabtot Hashem, aside from those korbanot that come from Shabbat. Which means that if you have Yom Tov that falls out on Sunday, and now you have not brought the nisachim that you were supposed to bring on Shabbat, as far as the Korban is concerned, if you didn't bring it on Shabbat, you're done. So there's nothing to talk about after that. But with regards to Nisachim, it can be brought even after the time that the Zebach was brought. They don't have an expiry date, and they can be brought afterwards. Then they can even be brought on the Yom Tov. On that Yom Tov that comes after Shabbat, it says Milvad Shabtot Hashem. Milvad, the leftover Korbanot from Shabbat that you could bring. So those Korbanot are the Nisachim that should have been brought on Shabbat. You're allowed to bring them on Sunday. That shows you that there is no cutoff or expiry with regards to the Nisachim. Bitzricha, and we need both source texts. Means the text from Pinchas and the text from Emor. Dikat of Rachman Milvad Shabtot Hashem, if we only had Rish Lakish's Limud, Hava Mina Bayom In Ubalayla Lo. You would have thought that you can only bring them during the day. You can't bring them at night. That's based on the Pasuk that is found in Parshat Tzav, which tells us with regards to all korbanot, Zot haTorah leOla, laMincha, laChatat, laSham, laMiluim, laZevach Shalim, sheTzivah Hashem Moshe b'Har Sinai, b'Yom Tzavoto, et b'nei Yisrael akiv et korbanehem laShem b'Midbar Sinai. There is a requirement to things being b'Yom Tzavoto, that korbanot only be brought during the day. And so you would have thought that based on Milvad Shabtot Hashem, which is associated with the daytime, because it's talking about Dvar Yom b'Yomo, so you would have thought then that Nisachim, when they pass the date on which they're supposed to be brought, they can be brought on the subsequent day, but that's it. But Lalaila, but at night, no. So Amar Kra, that's why you have the Pasuk, Minchatam Viniskehem, Vikatavrachana Minchatam Viniskehem, had it only written Mincha Viniskehem, Lokotav Milvad Shabtot Hashem, and you didn't have the Pasuk that Rish Lakish brought, Havamina Balaila in B'Yomama Lo, that you could only bring the Nisachim at night, you couldn't bring them in the next day. Umayishna. Why would you ever think something like that? Mishom, the Kodoshim, Laila Olech Achar Yom. Because when it comes to Kodoshim, the night follows the day. So you would have thought, possibly, the fact that Minchat Niskehem is the permission to bring it at night, would mean that you can bring it that night after you brought the Korban. The subsequent day, that would not be okay. And that's why you have Rish Lakish's statement, which says even the subsequent day you can bring it. It's not just limited to nighttime. How do you know by Kodoshim that the night goes after the day? That is to the exception of every other case in Halacha. The Torah says, Vayerev Vayivoker, which tells you the Erev comes first and then the Voker. By Kodoshim, seemingly there is a different din. And that din is learnt according to Rashi from the fact that it says by the Korban Todah, the period of time in which you can eat it is Yom Korbano Ye'achel, and you can eat it on the day of the Korban, and then Lo Yaniach Mimenu Ad Voker, you're not allowed to leave over any till the morning. So you see there that the requirement to eat the Korban on the day, the notar only happens on the next morning. So you see from that there is a Laila after the Yom is still subsumed in the day of the Korban time that you can eat, because it only becomes notar the morning after. So that shows you that the nighttime follows the Korban, and that we learn out from the Pasuk, Yom Korbano, Yachel, by the Korban Todah, the subset of Shlamim, that's eaten for a day and a night. From there it says that on the day itself you eat it, and on the subsequent day it becomes notar, which implies that the night follows the Yom in that case. That's Rashi's source for it. If you look in the Rabbeinu Gershom, he says, Bekodoshim lalo lech achar yom dechtiv, umiyom ha-shmini v'hala yeratzeh. The puzzle that's found in Bashet and more, that tells you that a korban is only ra'oi from the eighth day and onward. First 7 days of its life, you can't bring an animal on the Mizbeach. Only from the eighth day and onward. And the Rabbeinu Gershom says, it says, miyom ha-shmini v'hala. Only from the day of the eighth day and onwards can you bring it. The seventh day at night, you couldn't bring it. Now, technically, if it was the eighth day, by Erev Vayivoker, the eighth day starts at night beforehand. How come you can't bring it on the night before? So he says that shows you that the night before is part of the seventh day. And the eighth day only happens on the morning of the eighth. And that shows you that by Kodashim, it's the daytime that is Koveya as the beginning of the day. And then the Laila follows the Yom. So because of that, you would have had a Havamina here that the Nisachim have to be brought on the subsequent night from the day on which the Korban was brought by the Korbanot HaTzibur. That's what Reish Lakish is, Din HaMilvad Shabtot Hashem, comes to teach you that even in the subsequent day, you can bring the Nisachim. Therefore, Tzrichim. That's why we need both Limudim. One to teach us that the night is Kasher. The other one to teach us that not only is the night Kasher, but even the day is Kasher. Unisachim mi karve belayla. Since when do you bring the Nisachim at night? V'atanya. We have a Braita. Ein li ela dvarim shudarkan li karve belayla. I only have certain things which they normally are brought at night. Kigon, for example, evarim updarim, the limbs and the fats of the korban ha'ula, which are placed on the mizbeach at night, they are shemakrivim mibo hashemesh. They are put on once the sun sets. Umitaklin v'olchim kol ha'layla, kulof. And then they are consumed on the fire the entire night. Davarim shenarkam likarev bayom. Things that are normally brought during the day. Kigon, let me bring you examples of items that are brought during the day. Akometz, valivona, uminchat nisachim, shema'alan, miboa shemesh, that you put them on once the sun sets. Where it says, miboa shemesh, sakadatqua? How can you put them on once the sun sets? If they are din, it's to be put on during the day. Vamart, dvarim, shidarkam likarev vayom, ninu. Did you just say these are things that are brought during the day? Ela im baha shemesh, that you can put them on as the sun sets. You can put them on right before sunset. Shemitachlim v'chokim kol ha'layla. That you're allowed to do such and allow them then to burn or be consumed on the fire all night. Minayin. How do I know that works? Tamal omar. Zot torat ha'ula. Riba. That's the din of the ula. It is a ribuy to include these items. So you have two psukim. One pasuk which we already quoted before, which is Zot HaTorah Lola, Lamincha, V'chatat, V'lasham Miluim, Mozevach Shlamim, Shetzivah Hashem et Moshe Bar Sinai, B'yom Tzavoto, et B'nei Yisrael Akrivet Korbanayim L'Hashem B'Midbar Sinai. B'yom Tzavoto means during the day. Korbanot are brought during the day. There is one exception to that rule, and that is in Parshat Tzav, in the beginning, in Perek Vav, it says, V'edver Hashem Moshe Limor, Tzav et Daron, V'et Banav Limor, Zot Torat HaOla. That it goes on the Mizbeach all night long, Adaboker, until the morning. And the Eish will be continuously fired on the Mizbeach. So that Pasuk teaches us that there are certain things that are on the Mokta, Kol HaLayla, that are on the pyre the entire night. So that we learn that the parts of the Korban Ha'ola can be put on the pyre all night. What we have a reboy for is here, Zot Torah Ta'ula, that tells you that there's a, basically, Torah Chat Techol Olim, that there's a similar Torah for all things that go on the Mizbeach. That means that even items that are day korbanot, as long as you get them on within the framework of the day, they can continue to be burnt on the Mizbeach overnight. And that is, if you bring them right before Shkia, that's fine, even though they won't be completed by the time Shkia is passed, meaning that you've only done the Zrikat Adam, and they will be put on the Mizbeach at a later time, that's okay because the ikar part of the korban was processed during the day. So because it was processed during the day, it can be put on the mizbeach for the remainder of the night. So now you have items that are karev balayla, and you have items that are karev bayom. Now, what is the example of karev balayla? We saw that was Evarim Updarim. Rashi, Tosafot quotes it over here, from Menachot says that there's also things that come at night, including the shemen of the menorah. The oil of the menorah is put into the menorah. That's something that's only put at night. And Tosafot says, below Nira, I don't know what Rashi's talking about. What type of kedusha does the oil have? And what type of hakrava is that? That's not something you're makriv. It's the fuel for the menorah. It's not kedushat aguf. It's not ha'alah. It's not being placed as a korban before Hashem. And it has nothing to do with the avodah at night versus the avodah during the day. V'kach nira lomar. Tosafot says, we're going to see in a second that the only thing that is put on at night is a minchat nisachim, which is what we're discussing right now, is whether the nisachim can be put on at night when it comes to minchat nisachim, nisachim of the korban can be put on at night or not. But other than that, there's nothing that goes on at night except for the evarim upidarim and the minchat nisachim, which is what we're going to mention in a second. Now, the braita that we brought distinguished with things that were brought at night, which are the Evarim and Tarim, and things that are brought during the day, which it gave examples of, are Kometz Levona and Minchat Nisachim. So Minchat Nisachim is what we're after over here. We just said that you can bring the Nisachim at night, or the Minchat Nisachim at night, the Mincha Uniskehem, they can be brought at night. And over here, the Brayta is saying, these are day Korbanot. And that's what the Gemara says over here. Tani Miha, it says in the Brayta, Nisachim Bayom, that they're brought during the day. Amarami Barachama, Lokasha, that's not a problem. Kanli Kadesh, Kanli Kare. Depends on what you're trying to do with them. One is to be Mikadesh them. If you want to sanctify them, then you can sanctify them even at night. Sanctifying them means that you change them from Kedushat Damim, purchased by the Mikdash, and elevate them to Kedushat Aguf when they're placed into a Kli Sharet. That can be done even at night. Li Karev, to be put on the Mizbeach, that can only be done during the day. Now, even though it will turn out now to be a strange thing, and that is because of the fact that if you're Mikadesh, the item, in a Kli Sharet at night, then we generally have a principle that anything that is Kadosh B'Kli Sharet is Pasul Belina. As soon as Alot HaShachar breaks on the next morning, anything that was Kadosh Kedushat HaGuf, if it's not on the Mizbeach, then it is Pasul Belina. And so then you're going to create a situation in which you're Mikadesh these Nisachim, and then it comes the next morning that we Pasul Belina, then how are you going to ever be Mikarev them? So either you have to say that that's the Chiddush of Rami Bar Chama, that the Torah is telling you that despite the fact that there's lina by Nisachim, it still works, and you're able to do it, and the lina does not impact them. Or, the Shita Mekubetzet in the Hashmatot suggests that it was the other way around, that he was Makdish it during the Yom, and he was Makrivit at night. And that's the way that he resolves this stira between them, and that way you don't run into this problem of lina. So Amar Lei Rava, Rava says to him, what type of answer is that? Im Mikdash Kadshe Kruve Mikarve. If you can be Makdish the item, then you can put it on the Mizbeach. Va'atanya. And we have a Breita. This is Breita Ben Yichuta. I mean, it's supporting that which Rava is saying. Zakal. Kol HaKarev Bayom. En Kadosh El Bayom. Anything that is placed on the Mizbeach during the day can be only Mukdash. Can create the Kedusha on it during the day. Kol HaKarev Balayla. Anything that can be brought at night, Kadosh Balayla. You can be Mekadesh it at night. Ben Bayom, Ben Balayla. If it's something that can be brought both during the day and at night, Kadosh, Ben Bayom, Uben Balayla, then you create that Kedusha in the day and in the night. In essence, what he's saying is that the discrepancy that is created by Rami Bar Chama can't exist. If you can be Mekadesh at night, that means you could also be Makrivit at night. Or, if you can't be Makrivit at night, then you can't be Mekadesh at night, and your distinction between the being Makdishit and being Makrivit is not a viable solution. Elamar of Yosef, Sami Minchat Nisachim Mehamatnita. From that Braita, eliminate Minchat Nisachim. It shouldn't be in there. It shouldn't be one of those items that's Karev during the day, because it's just not true. Kisalik Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi went up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkeche the Rabbi Irmia, the Yoti Bekamar Mishmei the Rabbi Shua ben Levi. He found Rav Irmia saying over in the name of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Minayin L'Nisachim Habayim Zebach Shein Karevim El Biyom. How do I know that Nisachim that come along with the Korban, that you can't put them on the Mizbeach except during the day? Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk tells us, once again in Parshat Pinchas, all the way at the end, which is, Elo Tasula Hashem B'moadechem, V'vad Medidrechem, V'nidvotechem, Lolotechem, Ulaminchotechem, Ulaniskechem, Ulashalmechem. There's a juxtaposition over there between the word Shlamim and the word Nisachim, to teach you, Mashlamim Bayom, Af Nisachim Bayom. just like the Shlamim can only brought during the day, so too the Nisachim can only be brought during the day. Amar, I ashkeche dichtav yigarta, if I could find someone who could write a letter for me, or send a letter back to Rav Yosef, shalchele le Rav Yosef, I would send back to Rav Yosef, lo tismei minchat nisachim imatnita, don't take out minchat nisachim from the Braita, velo kasha, and now I can resolve the issue as to whether minchat nisachim can only be brought during the day, or can it also be brought at night, because kan minisachim abayim imazevach, when it's a nesach that's coming with the korban, and as Rashi says over here, it's not simply that it's coming with the korban. Rashi on the bottom of the Amud Aleph says, "V'kidshan shkitata zebach." They were present at the time of the korban that was being brought to which they belong, and the shkitata zebach has mekadesh them so that they are now part and parcel of the korban. That nisachim abayim zebach, they have to be brought on the day that the zebach's brought. They've now become captured by that korban, and then they are associated so much so with the korban that they have the same din as the korban, as Rashi says over here. Tani nisachim b'hadi dvarim shedarkam likarei b'yom haynu nisachim abayim mazevach. Those things that are mentioned in the Braita that are only brought during the day, that's a nesach that's coming with the zevach. On the other hand, nisachim abayim b'tanatzman, that which we spoke about before, that nisachim can be brought at night, that's talking about a nesach that's brought by itself. Now, b'nei atzmam can be in two ways. It can be a minchat nesach that's just brought independently, or it can be a minchat nesach that's associated with the zevach, but it wasn't present. It wasn't there at the time that you brought the zevach. What triggered Rav Dimi's statement is the fact that the way that he framed it was minayin nesachim haba'im im hazevach. He added in that qualifier. How do I know the nesachim that come with the zevach that they can only brought during the day? And he says, oh my goodness, that's it. Now it hits me that there's a difference between the nisachim. Certain nisachim can only be brought during the day. That's when they are identified with the korban. When they're identified with the korban, they become like the korban. That's the pasuk of niskechem and shalmechem. That then dictates that they have to be brought along with the korban during the day. Then the nisachim that are separate from the korban, either because they're completely separate or because they weren't there or weren't present at the time you brought the korban, then they are governed by minchatam v'niskehem, which means afilu l'machar, afilu b'layla. They can be even brought at night. So now the Gemara says, v'yavale igarta, if he could have found a person to send a letter with to Rav Yosef, mi afshar l'mishlecha, is he allowed to send such a letter back and write this down? V'am rabbi ava breid rabbi chiyar ba'avam rabbi yochanan, kotvei alachot kisufreif ha-torah. Someone who writes down halacha, meaning Torah shebaal peh, he's as if he's burning the Torah. Valamed mehen, and someone who learns from them, enun tel schar. You get no reward for learning from them. Rashi over here says, what does it mean? Kisurefa Torah. He brings two examples. Number one is, shemei tzilin otam b'shabbat mipnei adleka. The Gemara in Shabbat speaks about items that you're allowed to take out when there's a fire in the house, certain dispensations that we give for you to remove items from the house, even though it would be a violation of a din d'rabbanan in terms of carrying. Nevertheless, we allow you to take it out. One of those things is a Sefer Torah. So he's saying here, these Sfarim do not get that dispensation, and they will be left to be burnt because they're improper, or they shouldn't have been written in the first place. Or, Lishna Achrina, Shasur Shaltam Ktuvim. What does it mean, Kusurefa Torah? It means that they need to be Nisraf, that you're not allowed to keep them around because it's Torah Shabbal Peh, and now you have it written down. You need to burn them. You need to rid yourself of these items. So Darash, Rabbi Yehuda bar Nachmani miturgmanei de Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yehuda bar Nachmani, who was the miturgman of Reish Lakish, means that he was the loudspeaker, the translator, the one who presented that which Reish Lakish said to the Am, says, Katuva Chadomer, he says it's a pasuk, but the truth is now they're going to quote one pasuk, and they're quote two halves of the one pasuk, which is from Shmuel Damidalit in Pashat Kitisa, over there in Pasuk Chavzayin, it says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, you should write down that which we just spoke about. And then the continuation of the same pasuk says, based on what we just spoke about, that is the covenant that I entered with you between myself and Bnei Yisrael. So how do you reconcile that? One says, write them down. The other one says, that's what we spoke about. That is what governs over here. Lumalacha, that teaches you dvarim shal peh, iyata rashai l'umran bichtav. Things that are baal peh, meaning Torah shebaal peh, you're not allowed to write it down. Vishibichtav and Torah shebichtav, You're not allowed to say them ba'al peh. You have to read them mitoch haktav. You can't say them ba'al peh. So let's look at each part of these independently. One is, why is it that Torah Shebaal Peh cannot be written down? There are different reasons that are brought. Again, the Gemara never specifies what the reason is. One of them might be connected to the unique aspect of Torah Shebaal Peh. That unique aspect makes it, in some senses, interpretive in nature, which is that you have the color, the subjectivity of every individual upon the Torah through the Torah Shebaal Peh. Because the Torah Shebaal Peh is communicated in a verbal manner, and therefore, by definition, it's going to take on the genre, the cloak of the individual who's conveying the halacha. That means that there is a hashpa'ah, there's a certain amount of influence of the bearers of the Mesorah on the Mesorah because it's done Baal Peh. As soon as you write it down, it loses some of that flavor because now it's conveyed in a manner that it's not, first of all, in a verbal explained manner, but then it starts to become a dry passing and not something which is a live, living Torah, both from the perspective of being interpretive, that you have the right to interpret it based on what's the needs of the generation and the living Torah of Torah Shebaal Peh, as well as the fact that the personal aspect of it is somewhat lost when it's written down. So that makes it that Torah Shebaal Peh needs to be preserved, that unique aspect of it. And that's only true when it's kept as an oral tradition, not when it is a written tradition. The oral tradition allows for a broader explanation, allows for more maneuverability, it allows for interpretation. It allows, in essence, the Torah to be a living Torah. If it was just for the Torah Shebichtav, the Torah Shebichtav would be static, and it would not be a living Torah. Torah B'Shal Peh makes it a living Torah, makes it relevant for every generation. In addition, there are those that want to suggest that when Moshe Rabbeinu was up at Har Sinai, the Agadata over there speaks about the fact that he didn't want to write everything down. Then he wanted to write everything down, including the Mishnayot, and then Hashem divides up and says, Torah Shebichtav will be written down, Torah Shebaal Peh will not be written down, and the distinction is because Torah Shebichtav is given to Bnei Yisrael, but that will fall into the hands of others. Meaning that Bnei Yisrael don't have a monopoly on Torah Shebichtav because of the fact that it's Bichtav. And since it's Bichtav, everybody else has access to it just like Bnei Yisrael. And that's true of the other major religions today, that they all use the Torah Shebichtav. Then the Torah Shebaal Peh is something that's uniquely yours. And by keeping it Baal Peh, then it preserves the fact that it is yours and not belonging to the other nations because it's an oral tradition that's kept amongst you, and it's not the capacity of others to access it is not there because they don't have the Mesorah, they don't have the tools by which to do that. And you can see today that once the Torah Shebaal Peh was written down, then their outsiders started to weigh in, to learn it, to access it because of the fact that it was written down. So that's maybe some of the reason or the flavor as to why Torah Shebaal Peh can't be written down. Now, on the other side, Torah Shebichtav, you're not allowed to do it Baal Peh. The reason for that is also not clear, but has major nafkaminot b'alocha. There are those like the Ran and the Ritva who suggest that the reason is because we want you to look inside. Because the way things are spelled and the way the lettering is done, chaser, yeter, and all these different nuances of the writing have impact on the Torah Shebichtav. And therefore, reading it from the Ktav is important because it's not just how you pronounce it. It's not just what you're saying. It's how it's written. It's also impactful. And so that's why we want you to read it mitoch Ktav and not Be'al Peh. So that's one reason. Another reason is because we don't want you to make a mistake. We don't want you to learn the Torah Shebichtav incorrectly. And so therefore, we want you to look mitoch Ktav so that you don't make those mistakes. And make sure that we have a anchor with regards to the Torah Shebichtav, because you have to read it from mitoch haktav, and therefore you won't make mistakes with regards to the reading or the conveying of the Torah Shebichtav, because you have to write it down, and you have to read it mitoch haktav. You can't say it ba'al peh. So now, Tosafot already raises an issue, which is where the halachic aspect of this comes in. If that's the case, im tamar hekei kamrina mizmorim al peh. How do we say mizmorei tehillim Baal Peh, when we say Shir HaMalot Mimam Hakim, other Mizmorei Tehillim, when we sing them Baal Peh. How do we do that? The first answer Tosafot gives is Yesh Lamar, Dein Lakpid Ela Ma Shekatuv B'Chamisha Chumshei Torah. That this issue is only true, Torah Shebichtav in this sense, is only true with regards to the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. It's not true of Navi and Ketuvim. They don't have that same din of Torah Shebichtav like the Chumash itself. But then, he adds on after that, that doesn't really solve the problem. Amnam kasha, hecha karinan, bayosha v'kriyat shema. But then how do you read kriyat shema baal peh? Those are psukim from the Torah. How do you read bayosha az yashir? How do you read that baal peh? It's from the Torah. You can say the same thing with psukim for kiddush, for me, birkat hamazon, things that we quote. We quote psukim all the time, and people do these things baal peh. How is it possible that we do such a thing? Says the Yesh Lamar, that the only time we are machmir with regards to this is when you're being motzi other people. So when you're being motzi other people, then we're machpid that you do it mitoch haktav. But if you're doing it for yourself, then we're not so worried about it. We don't worry that it's not done mitoch haktav. You can even do it baal peh. That's how the Baalei HaTosafot solve the problem or deal with this issue of the balance between when can you say psukim baal peh and when do you have to read the psukim mitoch haketav. And others suggest that the ability to say baal peh is also subsumed in what we're going to see in a second in the Gemara of Eid Latzot Hashem Eferu Torotecha. It would be impossible for everybody to have a sefer in front of them they could read from. So we have to give a certain amount of latitude for people to be able to say it baal peh. Because otherwise, how are you going to have everybody come to shul with a sefer Torah to read Kriyat Shema every day? How can you read it? Or even if you have a chumash, you have to read it inside Sidur. Today, it's not such a crazy thing. Everybody does have a Sidur. But in those days, to have a Sidur for every person would have been a very difficult thing to come about. Therefore, maybe the din today has changed because of that. Because the printing is so available, maybe you do have to do it mitoch ha-kitab. The Abu Dra'am makes a simple distinction between whether you're learning for the sake of learning, mean Torah, or you're doing it for tefillah. That by tefillah, there's no issue of doing it baal peh, but with regards to learning Torah, you have to do it mitoch haketav. That's another distinction that is brought. And again here, the likely explanation has to do with two things. Ta'ut, we don't want mistakes being made. And number two is that the ketav itself has a certain amount of imbued kedushah and meaning in the writing, the way it's written. And those things also need to be seen and be a part of that learning. And that's why maybe it's uniquely associated with learning, or it's important to look at the ketav when you're teaching Torah. So now we have this problem, which is, here, Rav Dimi wants to send a letter to Rav Yosef with Halacha, with Torah Shebaal Peh. How could he write it down? B'tanit Beis Shmuel, Tov Lecha et Advarim Eile, that when it says you write down these things, Eila Atakotev, these things you can write down. Avalina Atakotev Halachot, you can't write down Halachot, which is exactly what Rav Dimi wants to send to Rav Yosef. Or halachot in the broader sense of interpretive law, or Torah Shebaal Peh, that you can't write down. So Amre, Dilma Milta Chadato Shaini. Maybe when it comes to something new, a chidush, that is different. Because, Da Rav Yochanan Vish Lakish, Maine B'Sifra De'Agadato B'Shabto. They used to look into the Midrash that they had, and it was written down. The Midrash Agadato was written down, and they used to look at it on Shabbat, V'Dashi Ochi. And they were doresh the following heter, or dispensation, to be able to do this. Eit lasot Hashem, heferu toratecha. That sometimes there's a moment that you need to take for Hashem, and in that moment you need to annul the Torah. That sometimes annulling the Torah is lasot Hashem. Amre mutav tiaker Torah. Better that something in the Torah is undermined, v'altishtachach Torah Mishrael. So that we don't lose a greater sense of Torah. Meaning that this is a more holistic view of what we do for the Torah. That there's certain times and places where Chazal have the power to abrogate certain halachot in the Torah to preserve the greater Torah or preserve the greater practice of Bnei Yisrael. And this is one of them. If we were not allowed to write down these items like the Sifrei Agadato. Now, whether the Sifrei Agadato for Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, whose major focus was on halacha, and therefore they weren't as familiar with the Agadato. Therefore they needed to write it down in order to remember it, because otherwise it would have been lost. Or because of the fact that they were being Doresh, and they didn't have this yet committed to memory. And so it was helpful for them to look inside in order to look at it and then be Doresh to the Rabbim. So that was the dispensation. Or because it was something new. That's something that they weren't. Again, it could be new because it's something they haven't heard before. It could be new because you don't spend a lot of time on it. But whatever the reason is, they had these cheat sheets that they were able to use in order to give the drasha. That shows you there is a dispensation to write it down in certain instances. And this is one of these instances where you would send it to Rabbi Yosef. The only way for him to get this information to Rabbi Yosef is to write it down. First of all, it's a chidush in halacha that he didn't know before. And now he wants to convey it or get it over to Rabbi Yosef. He can send it in a igeret. Now, that is something that we see throughout the Gemara, that the Gemara says many times that they found on a petek, they found written on an item. So you see that the Chachamim, when they were learning and they were committing things to memory, if you didn't write it down right when you were committing it to memory, it's hard to review something when you're committing it to memory if you can't see it and you can't repeat it. So they used to write it down when they heard something new. They used to commit it to memory, and after they finished with that, they used to bury it, or they used to get rid of the iktav. They weren't allowed to keep it around. It wasn't a permanent thing. It was an item that they used as a crutch in order to remember. But that's a temporary item. Sometimes that temporariness becomes permanent, which is that the Torah Shebaal Peh was going to reach a point where we were going to lose everything. Rabbi did it first with the Mishnah, and later on, Ravina and Ravashi did it with the Gemara, which is that there was a significant risk that everything was going to be lost, and therefore it was better to write it down than to leave it Baal Peh. And so that would be the case here too. It'll be an exception for that purpose. Amar Rav Papa, Hashta Damart Nisachim Abayim Bifnei Atzmam Krevim Afilu Balaylo. Now that you've told me that Nisachim that come by themselves can be brought even at night, Nizdamnu Nisachim Balaylo Makdishan Balaylo. If you get Nisachim that come to you at night, you can be Makdish them at night. Umakrivan, and then you can put them on the Mizbeach. Amalei Rav Yosef, Rei de Rav Sham, Maya, the Rav Papa, Tanya, the Misayelach. We have a braita that supports what you're saying. Zeaklal, Kol HaKarei Bayom, Ena Kadosh Ela Bayom. Something that can be brought during the day, you can only be Makdisha during the day. Kol HaKarei Balayla, Kadosh Balayla. And anything that can be brought at night, you can be Makdisha at night. So the same thing here, the Nisachim, which can be brought on Mizbeach at night, they therefore, you can be Makdish them at night. Amravada Ba'ava, Falota Shachar Poselet Pahan Ke'evarin. But you have to know that if you are Makdish them at night, you have a limited time or scope in which you can bring them, because Alota Shachar is Posel Belina, as we discussed before, like Evarin. Just like the Korbanot, where you're allowed to keep them and put them on all night, the Evarim Darim, but if they don't get on the Mizbeach before Alota Shachar, then they're Pasul Belina once Alota Shachar comes along. Similarly, the Nisachim, if you're Makdish them at night, you just have a limited amount of time in which you can deal with them, because you have to get them on before Alot HaShachar. Kiyata Rav Dimi, Am Rav Yochum, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yotzadak, Eile Tasul Hashem B'moadechem. This is the pasuk that we quoted before in Parshat Pinchas that had the hekesh between Nisachim and Shlamim. It says, Eile Tasul Hashem B'moadechem, Eilu Chovot Haba'ot Chova B'Regel. These are obligatory korbanot that come because of the regel. They're obligations of the regel. Chovat the regel, like the Olat Riyah, the Chagigah, and the Korbanei Musaf that are all associated with the Moed itself. Levad, mi nidrechem, nidvodechem, in addition to your nidarim, nidavot, shekrevim becholoshel Moed. That teaches you that your nidarim and nidavot can be brought on Choloshel Moed. Questions asked by the Rishonim over here is, why would you think otherwise? What's the issue with bringing Nidarim and Nidavot on Cholomushom Moed? Cholomushom Moed is not a sur b'melacha. It's not restricted in bringing Korbanot. So why couldn't you bring your Nidarim and Nidavot on the Moed? So the Rambam says that the reason that you're matir to bring them on Cholomushom Moed is, even though they're not Sorecha Moed, even though they're not something that's necessary for Cholomushom Moed, nevertheless, you can't be makriv them on Cholomushom Moed. Others suggest, like the Shita Mikubetzet over here, that of course you can bring Nidarim and Nidavot on Cholosh HaMoed. The Chiddush over here is that they are enhancing to Chol HaMoed. It is good to bring Nidarim and Nidavot on Cholosh HaMoed, because the bringing of the Korbanot means there's going to be more Achilat Basar. And if they're Olot, bringing Korbanei Olah enhances the Simcha, enhances the celebration of the day. And therefore these are items that are actually positively associated with Chol HaMoed, and we encourage you to bring them on Chol HaMoed. So not that it's a dispensation, but rather it's an encouraging word to bring them on Chol HaMoed. Le'olotechem b'me'ah katuv medaber. What olot is the pasuk speaking about? I be'olot neder harei kvar amur nidrechem. The pasuk already said nidrechem. I be'olot nedava harei kvar amur nidvotechem. Ha enu medaber elo be'olot yoledet be'olot mitzora. It tells you that you can bring the olah of the yoledet and the olah of the mitzorah, that they can be brought on Cholosh HaMoed. And the Sfat Emet suggests over here that the chiddush is that we allow you to bring them on Cholosh HaMoed, even though there's no problem about the acher, and you could have brought them after the moed. Nevertheless, we allow you to bring them on Cholosh HaMoed. Olamin chotechem, which is again the continuation of the pasuk, What's it speaking about? Ibi minchat neder, harikvar amur. If you're talking about minchat neder, we already said nidrechem. Ibi minchat nidava, harikvar amur. We already said nidvotechem. Hainu medaber, ela biminchat, and the, should be minchat chote, uminchat kinaot. These are obligatory manachot that are brought. Minchat chote is a korban olev yoreid, where the lowest item that you can bring in a korban olev yoreid for a chatat is a minchat chote. Minchat kenaot is the minchat sota. That's why the girsa shouldn't be sota over here. So those can be brought even on the cholo shel moed. So again, even though they're not associated in particular with the regel, and they are obligatory offerings that are not necessarily positive, nevertheless, the Torah allows you to bring them on cholo shel moed. And then we have the final part of that pasuk, which we quoted before, uliniskechem ulishalmechem. Mekish nisachim lishlamim. That's the hekesh that we spoke about before. Mashlamim bayom, af nisachim bayom. Just like the shlamim are during the day, so too the nisachim are during the day. That's from the juxtaposition of the two words. Now the word shamechem by itself is a rabot shamei nazir, to tell you that the shlamim of the nazir can be brought. Amar rabaye v'leim amar shamei pesach. Why don't you say it's the shlamim of the pesach? As Rashi explains over here, that is chagigat yudalit, but is brought in order to compensate for the fact that there's not sufficient basar in the Korban of Pesach for everybody to be satisfied. So we bring a chagigat yudalit along with the Korban of Pesach in order that you can eat the Korban of Pesach ala sova by first having the Korban chagigat yudalit and then eating the Korban of Pesach as a dessert. And for whatever reason, if you separated out this chagigat yudalit, but you never ended up bringing it on yudalit, then you can bring it on Cholo Shel Moed. And that's, as Rashi points out, despite the fact that Chagigat Yudalit is a Chovah, and therefore maybe you would have thought that it cannot be brought on Cholo Shel Moed because it was associated with Yudalit, along comes the Pasuk and says that it is still a Shlamim, and it can be brought on Cholo Shel Moed. The Shamei Nazir, because if you're talking about the Shamei Nazir, Nidar V'Nidavu, it's really an extension of Neder and Nidavah. Da'atanya, because we have a Braita, Ze'aklau, Koshu Nidav V'Nidar, Karev Matayachit. Anything that is a voluntary offering can be brought on a Bama of the individual. She'enu Nidav V'Nidar, Enu Karev Matayachit. But if something that is not a voluntary offering, it cannot be brought on the Bama Tayachit. So during this month of Heter Abamot, when you can put up a Mizbeach in your backyard and bring a Korban on it, the Korbanot that are allowed to be brought on a Bama Tayachit are only things that are Neder and Nidavah. V'tanya, ha-menachot v'nezirot, krevim v'bamat ha-yachid, divrei Rabbi Meir. You can see, menachot and nezirot are allowed to be brought on b'mat yachid, which means that nezirot is defined as a neder and a nedava. That's the view of Rabbi Meir. Gemara says, sami mika nezirot. So take out nezirot from that Mishnah. So obviously the machloket here, with regards to how we view nezirot, is the korbanot and nezirot. The korbanot and nezirot are obligatory once you are a nazir. But you can only enter into the world of nezirot through a neder by saying that you're going to take a neder nezirot. So the question is, how do we view the korbanot that are a result of entering into the world of nezirot through a neder? Do we say, since you entered the world of nezirot through a neder, therefore the korbanot that are a result of that are also classified as a neder or nedavah as voluntary offerings? That's the view of Rabbi Meir. That's the view of Abaye. On the other hand, the Braita that brought Shamei Nazir as being included through the Shamei Chem to tell you that you have to have a special riboy to bring those Korbanot and Nazir on Chol HaMoed, and you can't just learn that from Neder Nidavah. They obviously view the Korbanot and Nazir as a result of the Neder Nizirot, but not because of the Neder Nizirot. It's once you've done that, that's the prescriptive nature of what you need to do once you are a Nazir. And so then it becomes an obligatory offering, and it's no longer considered or classified as a neder or nidava. And so then the Gemara says, Mika laman damar dazir lav nidar v'nidavo. Is there anyone who thinks that a nizirut is not considered to be a voluntary offering? V'aktiv. Don't we have a pasuk by Avshalom at the beginning of Merit Avshalom? It says there, Vahi miketz arbaim shana. V'yom Avshalom el ha-melech. Avshalom says to David, Elchana v'shalem et nidri asher nadarti l'Hashem v'Hebron. I want to go now and complete my neder, which I took in Hebron. Ki neder nadar avdecha b'shifti b'gshur. When I was living in Gshur, when he had run away because he had killed Amnon, the crown prince. And then David was angry at him. He ran away to Kshur to save his life. So when he is Kshurim by Ram Lemor, Im Yashov Yeshiveni Hashem Yerushalayim, if Hashem brings me back to Yerushalayim, Vavati at Hashem, then I will bring this to Hashem, or I will dedicate this to Hashem. As Rashi explains over here, that Avshalom was a Nazir Olam, and every 30 days he used to cut his hair and bring the korbanot that were associated with it. And he is suggesting over here that he's bringing his korbanot of the Nazir in Hebron. And that's what the Gemara says. My lava korban. Why is Hebron mentioned here? Isn't that where he's going to bring his korbanot in Hebron, which means that it has to be in a time when it was Heter HaBamot, it's a Bamata Yachid, and it's a Bamata Yachid, and he's bringing his korbanot Nazir on the Bamata Yachid. Where it says, Lo, Aikar Nidro, Amar. It's about the nether itself. The nether itself was in Hebron. Ikar Nidro, but Hebron, Abba? How could it be that you say that his nether was taken in Hebron? Alo, B'Gashur, Abba? The Pasuk says explicitly he was in Gashur when he took the nether. So, Rav Acha, V'Yitem Rabba, Bar Rav Chanan, Lo Alach Avshalom, El Alavik Kvasim Hebron. He went to Hebron to pick up the Kvasim. He wasn't bringing the Korbanot over there, but he was picking up the Kvasim in Hebron to bring them to the Bama Gdola at that time, which is in Giv'on. So he's bringing them back from Hebron to put them on the Mizbeach or the Mizbama Gdola in Hebron. Hachanami B'Nistavro, that makes a lot of sense. D'itim La Kruvehu, the Azil, if you tell me that he's going to put them on the Mizbeach and be makriv them there, Shavik Yerushalayim, V'Azil Makriv B'Hebron, why would he leave Yerushalayim and go to Hebron? If the Bamot Yachid are Mutar, and he could do it anywhere, why would he leave Yerushalayim, the capital city, where he can bring the korbanot there, and he's going out to Hebron to bring the korbanot in Hebron? Doesn't make sense to go to Hebron when he has the option to do it in Yerushalayim. So your interpretation now makes sense that the reason he went to Hebron was to pick up the kvasim in order to bring them as the korban. Velamai. So now you're suggesting lavi kvasim Hebron. The reason he was going to Hebron was to pick up the animals for his korban. Hayashir nadarti l'Hashem b'Hebron. The pasuk says that the neder that I took to Hashem b'Hebron in Hebron may Hebron me b'ile. It should be from Hebron. The pasuk shouldn't read, Asher nadarti l'Hashem b'Hebron, that I'm going to go take care of it in Hebron. It should be me Hebron. I'm going to take care of it by bringing it from Hebron. Elolam l'akruve. So no, you have to go back to the original assumption that he's going out to Hebron to bring the korbanot there. But the kachashala kamay shavak Yerushalayim akri b'Hebron. Then why is he leaving Yerushalayim going to Hebron? If Bamata Yachid is mutar and you can build the korbanot and nazir anywhere, why bother to go down to Hebron? You may as well do them in Yerushalayim. Tikshalach Givon to Makom Kadoshu. Why are you asking about Yerushalayim? What about Givon? Givon was the site of the central Mizbeach at that time, and that was a place that was Nikdash for bringing up Korbanot. So why would he go to Hebron instead of taking care of the issue in Givon? That is post the Korban Hav Mishkan Shiloh. The Mizbeach moves to Nov. The Aron was lost to the Plishtim. Later on is then sent back to Bnei Israel and then kept in Kiryat Ye'arim. But the Mizbeach, or the central Mizbeach, moved to Nov. After Shaul destroys Nov, it moves to Givon. And it stays in Givon until the time of Shlomo Melech when he brings it up to the Mikdash. So if that's the central location, why does he go to Givon instead of going to Hebron? Ela, Kevin Shu Trua Bamot, Kohechi Deboi Makrif. Once the Bamot are Mutar, there's no obligation to go to a location that is the Bamak Dolah, overdoing a Bamata Yachid. There's no necessity to go to the particular place where the main Mizbeach is over just doing it in your backyard or doing a Bamata Yachid. So we see from that that Avshalom, who was a Nazir Olam, was bringing his Korbanot in Hebron, which means that they were classified as being a Neder Nidava because he was bringing them on a Bamata Yachid in Hebron, which, and we know that only things that go on a Bamata Yachid are Neder Nidava. That shows you that everybody believes that Nizirut is a Neder and Nidava. So it seems that the Gemara has concluded here that the Korbanot and Nazir are classified as Nidar and Nidav. And Abaye's question on the Braita is a fair question. Why did he pick Shamei Nazir and not the Shamei HaPetzach, which would have been a better option because Shamei Nazir is subsumed under Nidrechem to Nidvotechem. Then the Gemara says as an aside, it wants to know what was the Vahim Ketz Arbaim Shana after 40 years, Arbaim Shana Laman. What is the reference here of 40 years? Tanya, Rabbi Narai, Omer, Mishum, Rabbi Yoshua, Miketz Arbaim Shana, Shishalu Lehem Melech. It was 40 years from the point in time or they had asked for a king. So now, what is the point of connecting this merit of Shalom to the asking of a king? It might be because Avshalom knew the Mesorah that the kingdom or the kingship would last for 40 years. And he thought now that 40 years had elapsed, his time had come. What he didn't realize was that it was Malchut Beit David. David himself was going to rule for 40 years. It wasn't just the Malchut Yisrael was going to last for 40 years, and his time had not come. Or you could say that the mere fact that Bnei Yisrael asked for a king in of itself is an act of rebellion, as Shmuel says at the time, that the asking of a king is like the rejection of Hashem and or a rejection of the rulership of Shmuel himself. And therefore, you associate that rebellion when they ask for the king with the rebellion of Absalom. Or, more simply, it is that the kingship that was set up by Shmuel, this is the first challenge to that kingship of Shmuel where there's merit of Shalom. So, from the beginning of Malchut Yisrael, this is the first major rebellion against the God-anointed king associated with Absalom, and therefore the 40 years associate back with the Malchut Yisrael. How do you get that there were 40 years from the time that they asked for a king until a merit of Shalom? The Gemara now will lay out. There are numerous kirsot with it and numerous difficulties with all of these items. It's really based on the Seder Olam Rabbah, which is a sefer that is the Tanaic work of Rav Yossi Bar Chalafta that chronicles the chronological timelines that are laid out basically in Tanakh and gives you all the different years, ages of individuals and times and things that happen. The Gemara quotes it all the time. It's the source for much of the material in the Gemara with regards to these matters. And it was viewed by the Chazal as the authoritative work in terms of the history of the Jews with regards to that which is written in Tanakh. And so many of the Midrashim that we know, the Rashis that are quoted in the Torah, all those items really come from the Seder Olam Rabbah. And this too is really based on that Seder Olam Rabbah as well, which is the Tanya, Otoshana Shisholu Lehem Melech, Otoshana Sivit Shal Shmuel Aita. That year where they asked for the king was the 10th year of Shmuel's reign. Eser Shanim Malach Shmuel Batzmo. Shmuel was a king alone for 10 years, meaning that he was the ruler, the Shofet, the Navi of Israel for 10 years by himself. Shana Achat Malach Shaul Vishmuel. There's 1 year where they overlapped Shaul and Shmuel. Ushtayim Shemalach Shaul. And 2 years where Shaul reigned by himself. So that's a total of 13 years in that part of the lifetime of Shmuel. 10 of which were prior to the asking of a king. And then there were 3 remaining afterwards that were after they had asked for a king. They asked for a king in his 10th year. You have 1 year subsequent to that where he shares the rule with Shaul. And then another 2 years of Shaul himself, where Shaul is the king. That's 3 years. Ushloshim v'sheva shemalach David. And then 37 years that David ruled. And that's when the merit of Shalom takes place, is in that 37th year of David HaMelech. There are many over here that are gores shloshim v'shesh in the 36th year of David's rule. And they include both the 10th year in which they asked for the king and the 36th year in which the merit takes place. That both of them are Bechalah, the calculation, and that gives you the 40 years. Now, I sent out a timeline that shows you how Chazal calculate these items. There are different approaches within both the Seder Olam Rabbah and the Rishonim to come about these numbers, trying to use some of the hints, some of the items that we have in the Navi, in order to figure out exactly what is this span of time that we're speaking about, and how we know that 40 years elapsed between the time they asked for the king and the time of merit of Shalom. Despite all these calculations, there are difficulties with that. The Baal Tosafot already point them out, which is that in the Seder Olam Rabbah, it tells you at the end of David's life a number of things that he does. Those items take up about roughly somewhere between 4, 5, 6 years, all the items that they say he did at the end of his life. Now, if merit of Shalom is either in the 36th or 37th year of his kingdom, that means that he only has 3 years left to his rule. If he only has 3 years left of his rule, how is he doing all these things? So Tosafot makes the claim that maybe some of these things were happening in parallel. That's already obviously a issue with regards to the placement now or the understanding of when merit of Shalom took place. Now, here are some of the ways that they go about calculating it. One is that Shmuel lived for 52 years. The Gemara learns this out from the fact that it says that Chana brings Shmuel up to the Mikdash after he gamel, after he was weaned. And we know that weaning in their day was for roughly 24 months, 2 years. Then it says that she's going to leave him there ad olam, forever. And olam has a connotation in the Torah, olam, either olam shel yovel, which means 50 years, or the olam of the Levi, where he retires at 50 years. So since Shmuel was a Levi, that means 50 years. So that means the 50 years plus Ayin Gamel, the 2 years, that's 52 years was the lifespan of Shmuel. We know that Shmuel takes over only after the death of Eli. Eli, the Kohen Gadol, was Shofetet Israel, the Pasuk says, for 40 years. And we also know, based on the Psukim, or the Drashah, the Psukim, that Eli only came into service as the Shofet, as the leader, in that year where Chana is davening for Shmuel. And that's why it says there that he was Yosheva, like he said. He was now the Shofet at that time. So now you have to, at that point in time, it takes a year for her to conceive and give birth to Shmuel. So a year later, Shmuel is born, or Shmuel is born after the first year of Eli's rule has elapsed. That means that there's 39 years remaining in Eli's rule in the lifetime of Shmuel. That means by the time that Eli passes away and Shmuel takes over, Shmuel at that point in time is 39 years old. Now, we know that he lives a total of 52 years. 52 minus 39 is 13 years. That's what the Gemara is describing over here, that there is a window of 13 years in which we have Shmuel being alive. Now, Shmuel being alive doesn't mean he was ruling during all that period of time. And that's what the Seder Olam Rabbah breaks down based on the Psukim, that Shmuel ruled by himself for 10 years. There was an overlap between Shmuel and Shaul for a year in the period of time in which Shaul begins to act as the king, but they don't have that finalized ceremony where he becomes the king. And then they finally made the king, and the pasuk says about Shaul HaMelech, that Ben Shana Shaul B'Malko, he was 1 year old when he came to the kingdom, it's a very difficult pasuk. Ushtei Shanim Malach HaYisrael, and he ruled over Bnei Israel for 2 years. So that's the 2 year window. So if I take away the 2 years, that leaves 11 for Shmuel. We know that they have this one overlapping year, and then there's 10 years left where he ruled by himself. So that's how we get that time span. And that means that from the time that they appoint the king, which is in the 10th year of Shmuel, then there's 3 years remaining in the rule of Shmuel and Shaul. And then we go into David's reign, in which he was 7 years or 7.5 years in Hebron. And then the remainder of the time is in Yerushalayim for a total of 40 years. And that means if you already have 3 years during the time period of Shaul and Shmuel, then the remaining 36 or 37 years are during the reign of David HaMelech. So that's one way to come about the calculation. Another way to come about the calculation is from the Aron. We know that when David HaMelech tries to bring up the Aron to Yerushalayim, it's been in Kiryat Yearim for 20 years. It ended up in Kiryat Yearim in the year that the destruction of Mishkan Shiloh came about. Mishkan Shiloh is destroyed, Bnei Israel lose the battle, and the Aron's taken into captivity by the Plishtim. Within 7 months, they send it back, they can't handle it, and then it ends up, after going to Beit Shemesh, it ends up in the house of Aminadav in Kiryat Yearim. And it says when David comes to Yerushalayim, he wants to bring up the Aron to Yerushalayim. It says that it's been there for 20 years. And then he tries to bring it up, and then they have the problem with Uzzah gets killed, and they end up leaving it there by the house of Oved Edom, where it sat for 3 months. And then he brings it up to Yerushalayim. Now we know two things about the Aron. It ended up in Kiryat Yearim in the year that Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed, which means that's the time that Eli died and Shmuel comes to power. We also know that David brings it up to Yerushalayim when he moves his seat of throne from Hebron to Yerushalayim. So that means from the time that David begins to rule in Yerushalayim, 20 years back is the beginning of Shmuel's rule. And we know that David ruled in Hebron for 7 years or 7.5 years. That means that 20 minus 7 is the 13 years that remain. Those 13 years then are divided up between, we know Shaul ruled for 2 years, we have the overlap year, and then we have the original 10 years of Shmuel. That's another way to come to the calculation of when they asked for a king, based on their own being in Kiryat Yearim for 20 years. Another way to come about it is also from the fact that the pasuk says, by Yamat Shmuel, when Shmuel passes away, then David HaMelech gets scared of Shaul HaMelech, that he's really going to kill him at this point. And then he's very ready to Midbar Paran, goes down to Midbar Paran, and then he goes after that to live by Achish Melech Gat in order to escape from Shaul. And then Shaul stops chasing after him because he's left the area of Klal Yisrael and he goes to live by the Plishtim. The pasuk then says, Vayi mispar yamim asher yashav David b'stei Plishtim yamim v'arba'a chodoshim. He stays there for roughly 4 months. And the reason he comes back after those 4 months is because Vayamat Shaul. Because Shaul passes away. And based on that, you now know that Shmuel and Shaul die at the same time. They die in the same year. And that means that that was the beginning of the reign of David HaMelech. That means that David HaMelech's reign begins in the same period of time in which Shaul passes away and Shmuel passes away, because Shmuel and Shaul pass away within 4 months of each other. Because David, after Shmuel passes away, runs to Achish Melech Gat. He stays there until Shaul dies, and then he returns to Klaiso, he returns to Hebron in order to be anointed the king. So that means that Shmuel and Shaul lived about the same amount of time. And we know that Shaul only ruled for 2 years. That means that 2 years beforehand, that's the beginning of Shaul's reign. And that means that the year before, or sometime in that previous year, Shaul was anointed the king. So that's the year of overlap between Shmuel and Shaul. And that means that before that, Shmuel ruled by himself for 10 years. Or in essence, we know that the kingship started 3 years before David came to power. That means that in David's reign, 36 or 37 years into his reign, is when Merit of Shalom comes about. So these are all different ways to triangulate around what the Chazal say with regards to these years. There are definitely difficulties both in trying to sort out if Merit of Shalom is so late in the time of the reign of David HaMelech. What about all the other things that David does at the end of his reign? How do we fit them in? How do we make that work? As well as the fact that it's very hard to understand how Shaul only reigned for 2 years, even though that's what the Pasuk says. As well as the fact that the Gemara is ignoring all these stub years, like the 7.5 in Hebron, the 7 months before the Aron reaches Kiryat Yearim. And all those, on a cumulative basis, would actually change the numbers that we have here. Nevertheless, the Gemara triangulates these psukim and these understandings of the Misora with regards to certain things that happen at certain times, like the assumption that Shmuel is born a year into Eli's reign. But given all those assumptions, therefore they come up with this explanation of what it means. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on the top of Tevav Amud Aleph.